Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to Bad Company with Gray Eyes Smith and myself, Dan DeShino. And I think we do have Gray and Weaver of Dreams here tonight. Lady and gentlemen, are you both there?
Oh, I'm here. Thank you. Yes.
I am. Thank
Gray.
You. I went over the whole introduction to you on mute.
Hey, I'm sure it's great. As long as all the mice in your house enjoyed it, then that's okay. You did something.
Yeah, exactly.
And hello,
that
Weaver.
Weaver's here. No, I was gonna introduce the music there. So what we heard, I have actually have three contests in the post. I didn't really, Weaver, I know you're going to post the stuff tonight. I didn't put it on there correctly. So there's three different contests intermingled within the post there as well too. But the first contest I had was a tribute to the great New Age piano player George Winston, and that was a song that we heard from him. And I forget which song it was, but it's a song I believe off of his Winter into Spring album. He has a lot of albums on the seasons and on locations. He's got one about Montana. He's got one about the Great Plains. I really wanted to do something from autumn, since in the Northern Hemisphere it is autumn. But he doesn't have anything under like 7 minutes on the album, so I was trying to take mercy on everyone and keep it to the 3 or 4 minute mark that we usually do. So that was from his Winter to Spring album. But George Winston, if you don't know him, he's one of my favorite musicians. I listen to everything from heavy metal to classical to everything. I listen to a ton of progressive rock. But George, I always quote George's song "Colors Dance" as my favorite all-time song. I mean, it's really hard to pick a favorite song, but I pick that as it's the most satisfying chord changes I've ever heard in my life. I absolutely love that song. Again, I quote it as my favorite all-time song. Everybody should check it out on his album Autumn, which was his debut album and the album that really put him to stardom. A lot of people do New Age music, and even before him, but he's really one of the first ones that just kind of popularized and brought that style of piano to the world. And we lost him this year. He passed away earlier this year. It was very devastating to me because he meant something to me. He was inside of me a little bit. George was. I got to see him multiple times, as well as actually meet him once in the 80s. So that was I was very gracious to be able to do that. But anyway, that was a song by George, and our first contest is actually based on the music of George Winston. So around autumn, which two of the contests I have tonight are. But he is an obscure artist, but he is also popular too. I don't know, Gray or Weaver, have you guys ever listened to George Winston or heard of him? I'm curious to know.
I haven't heard of him, yes.
I'm afraid I haven't, but it sounds wonderful.
Yeah, I recommend the album Autumn, which is... Go ahead, Gray.
No, I was just going to say it was great. Great intro.
Yeah, he's from the Midwest, from Montana. I believe that's where he's from. But I recommend his album Autumn to everybody that's listening. It's a great introduction to his stuff, and he's got a great, very peaceful, great style. Yeah, but we are all here. Weaver, did you get your whiskey and haggis? Darn, you're supposed to be poor.
Yes, I poured the whiskey on the haggis, and it was absolutely wonderful.
I have a feeling you might have to do that to haggis, right? I never had haggis, and I don't know if I ever want to have haggis. I'm not to insult Scotland. I don't know if I really want to eat. It doesn't sound appetizing to me. I don't know.
Yes, it's wonderful. It tastes absolutely marvelous. And, of course, it's difficult to catch them. So, it's not that prevalent because they live in mountains in the highlands. And they are around the mountains, and you have to try and catch them. So it's, we only get them a few times of the year. I'm telling lies.
Yes, I know. The wild haggis beast.
Yep.
It's just around Scotland. There you go. Yeah, I might have to try it someday just to try it, but I don't know. I don't know about that one.
You just don't think about what it's made of. Just imagine. Nothing. Just think it's organic and just taste it. It's got beautiful flavor. You'll like it. Spicy.
I'm sure if people, yeah.
No, anyway. I won't force you. Don't worry. You're not going to get
The whiskey. I'm sure there's some great Scottish whiskey. The whiskey, I could. That sounds pretty good.
Oh, that is good. That is lovely. And by the way.
Hey, I suppose, yes.
By the way, I thought I was going to have an easy evening. Commenting on beautiful poetry, it would appear I'm being put to work. I don't.
Oh yeah.
I don't mind. All right, sorry. Carry on.
Gray's putting you to work, absolutely. You know, I suppose you guys have haggis, and in Boston here, we have clam chowder. Clams are pretty gross, too, until you cook them, so, you know. Or they look pretty gross, so, hey, you know.
Yeah.
I guess there you go. Although clam chowder is good.
I imagine it would be. I love anything seafoody, but I draw the line at frog's legs. Ain't happening. No, no.
No, it ain't happening.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
I used to go and harvest them at a local pond in my city when I was a kid. And we'd all us kids would have a little bonfire there and cook frog legs on an open fire.
You're kidding me.
No, it was great. Delicious.
Oh, well, you see, my haggis is not nearly as bad as that.
All right, someday we'll all get together, have haggis, frog legs, and clam chowder and see
how
we do.
We'll all meet in Edinburgh, and then we'll go up to the castle and take it over.
There we go.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing right there. There you go. All right, cool. So I think we can get started. So, yeah, the first contest we have here, hold on, I already messed it up. Yeah, it was the music of George Winston. So I did a contest. You know, I wanted to do something to tribute him because he was, like I say, he was one of my favorite musicians of all time, who unfortunately passed away this year. I had some multiple prompts. I didn't organize my prompts. I got to do what Afaziana, my other co-host, does. She's very good. She organized my prompts. I didn't do that, but basically I said you could do any prompt with George's that you wanted to or anything on George Winston at all, and I had four prompts. I had prompt number one was the song Colors Dance, so I said, quote, is my favorite song from the album Autumn. Then the prompt number two is Thanksgiving, his song Thanksgiving, which is a great tune from the album Autumn. And then Fragrant Fields from the album Summer, Joy from the album December, Cloudy This Morning from the album Forest, and then the song February Sea from the album Winter of the Spring. And so we had a bunch of really great poems based on, you know, those different prompts. And, yeah, why don't we get cranking with that? So I think your job is to post them. Oh, and you already did. Look at that. While I'm yapping away over here, you're actually way ahead of the game.
Yeah. So she has Colors Dance by Just Michael up on the board, and I will give that a read. Colors Dance by Just Michael. Yellow leaves skate past the patio door, their desiccated shapes fragile and torn. Perhaps this year I'll let November breezes take them away from my buckwheat lawn and poem.
Excellent, excellent read. And yeah, that was a great read. Great. And, you know, this is really interesting, little brevity that he wrote here. I really like the way that he kind of described the just the whole feel of everything. So the yellow leaves, I mean, it's such a small one. I'll just kind of quote again. The yellow leaves are skating past the door. They're desiccated shapes, fragile and torn. Perhaps this year I'll let the November breezes rake them away from my buckwheat lawn. I thought it was very interesting. Just a beautiful kind of description of it. The you know, the leaves falling down and kind of covering everything is always interesting to me. You know, I don't know if anybody here is listening to an area that doesn't necessarily have fall, but when the leaves turn all the colors and they go down, when they first go down, they're still basically the colors that they were. They're usually kind of yellow, maybe not as bright, but they're yellows and reds. They kind of blanket everything, and eventually they kind of start wilting and getting older and fragile. But when they first go down, it's like a little blanket almost, and it really is beautiful. And yeah, those desiccated shapes, fragile and torn. Leaves are very, very, you know, they're very fragile, and they do get, you know, more as they're lying down. And think about the breezes. It is interesting, too, because in your yard, you know, if you do have a yard or a field, the wind just kind of does blow them away. You know, I mean, I have a ton of trees in my yard, so I actually spend a lot of time raking and trying to get rid of the leaves. It's a punishment for having lots of trees, but, you know, I love having trees. But yeah, I just thought this was really beautiful, interesting, and a great way to start the show tonight. Weaver, what do you think?
Oh, I agree. This was a lovely brevity. I really liked it. I do love this particular autumn time of year. I have bushes in my garden that the leaves turn from red to orange to yellow, and they lie. And one year I decided I couldn't bear to see them just, you know, frizzle away. So I collected a whole pile of them, and I dried them on one of these drying frames, and I made a collage of them in a big picture frame. And it looks, and that was 5 years ago, and they still look fantastic. So it's, you know, it's worth doing if you like those colors. It looks really lovely. And I think this is exactly what you would want. You would let the breeze get rid of them for you rather than rake them up, because every time you do that, the wind brings them back anyway. So yeah, let November breezes take them. That's a beautiful way. And you can see them flying off free. I like it. Very well done. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we have great colors around New England. It's kind of famous for its foliage. And we have up in New Hampshire, a lot of people will go there in the fall literally just to see the foliage, because you can usually kind of, you know, see it all through the White Mountain Forest. They call them leaf peepers. So all the leaf peepers come around to go check out the foliage in the fall.
Oh, love that.
Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, Gray did a great job reading. What do you think?
Thank you. Yeah, you reminded me when you spoke of your collage of being a kid and painting paint on the leaves and then using those as stamps to make pictures. I don't know if you guys ever did that, but we did it with Canadian maple leaves. As a kid, I remember doing that. So, yeah, you know, fallen leaves are, they're both tragic and beautiful. I mean, you know, it means the end of the season of warmth and, you know, blissfulness, but then the cold and shocking weather coming in. But, you know, that was always part of something that we would do as kids in Canada, is go and gather up maple leaves as a class and then take them in and paint them and use them as stamps for artwork. So, yeah, it was a beautiful, touching poem, very nicely done.
Absolutely, and that was the that actually got the gold just because it was very beautiful, so I actually gave that one a top prize. Oh, they were all very good, but that one kind of touched me a little. And, all right, we got another one on there now.
This is
Cloudy. Okay, so we have Cloudy This Morn by Jesna Sajan. And if you wouldn't mind reading that, Weaver, that would be great.
My pleasure. No problem. Right, Cloudy This Morn. Cloudy this morn, fluffy white pies, grey cumulonimbus bleaking the skies. The music imparted harmony and peace. The musician departed, a windy, solemn breeze. Lost in a lofty forest, silence amidst the trees, to find the inner rest, time was to freeze. Into this world of chaos, music flows at ease, comfort and serenity lows, breeze eventually cedes. Breath eventually cedes. Loneliness blends, a timid bass slef, treble slef mends, quaver and bass clef. Timeless classic tunes, the mindful melody, flowing the desert dunes, remains heavenly. End poem.
Excellent, excellent. And Greg, why don't you start us off?
Well, it's quite beautiful. I thought she melded the music and the seasons quite beautifully, catching the prompt in a stellar fashion. You know, it was quite a beautiful poem, and you can almost hear the rhythm to the music as you read through it. So it's just a beautiful poem. You did a great reading, Weaver.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and Jesna, young woman from India, I believe, and already has 5 books out, but I'm a fan of her. She writes a lot for our contests. And she's got to be a musician. Jesna, if you're listening, let me know if you are a musician, because you always seem to write either about music or musically. It seems to be very lyrical in your writing. So I figured that she would I was figuring she was going to go for this contest, and you're right. She really combined music and the poetry together, and the music and the autumn just beautifully. So I think she went to the prompt really well. And she did prompt number 5, Cloudy This Morning, from the album Forest. And just great, great descriptions. I actually really like, this is one of her better rhyming poems, I think. I thought she did a beautiful job where the stanzas were intertwining with rhyme, which I think is really good. And I like the clef was interesting to me. So lonely blends, a timid bass clef, treble clef mends, quiver, and bass clef. I thought that was very interesting. And then the music imparted, harmony and peace, the music departed, a windy, solemn breeze. To me, that's really interesting. Like she's really kind of describing the music coming in almost as the breeze, but the musician departed, a windy, solemn breeze. So the music is basically this, like the sky, and then the clouds, and the musician departs with the breeze. I thought was really, really interesting. So the clouds and the air kind of causing everything. Into this world of chaos, music flows at ease, comfort and serenity lows, breath eventually sees. I just thought it was really, really fun and really beautiful. Like I could see this as a song. That's one of the things we've seen about Jesna's poems, you know. She does write them as rhyming, but I can see them, like they almost need to be sung most of the time when I see her write. So I'd love to, again, know if she is a musician and if she ever gets to put her songs to music. But it's got the silver in the contest, so congratulations, Jesna. And, yeah, it was beautiful. And, Kate, you got to read it. So what were your thoughts?
Yeah, sorry about the stumble. It kind of caught me by surprise, the word I haven't seen. But I thought this was beautiful. It was just, it started off so sweetly. Cloudy this morn, fluffy white pies, grey cumulonimbus breaking the skies. Just lovely, lovely. And as you say, it is lyrical and it is musical, and you can actually think of the music behind it as you read it, which is so good. But I thought, I'm going to have a little look at the rest of what she's written, because I haven't actually come across this lady before, so it'll be interesting. So I'll certainly have a look, and thank you very much for sharing that with us. It was lovely.
Yeah, I like her. She like I said, she writes for a lot of my contests. She's a very prolific writer, and I like it. It's very, very, very pleasant and nice and fun. So yeah, alrighty. We got a new one up there. Gray, is it my turn now?
It is, yes.
And I will be honored to read Captain Kerr. And this one won the bronze, which was called Lady Winter. December snow blankets softly in white, carpeting hazelnut grass and crystal light. Tall icicle pines trance fall's frozen lips, till spring's green shadow releases summer's hot kiss. And Lady Winter, downed in hail, swirls through clementine haze with gray-eyed silver face, tightening her grip where tall mountains swell from trickling river to narrowing dell. She sleeps in hand-sown wind through mirrored dawn to wake in northern arms and starling song, then glides atop the crest of Arctic waves, dusting Celtic highlands and Siberian plains. She's embodied in milk and sable fur, in naked springs of dusk that whip and stir, in undying chords of Tuscany blue, blending keys of Italian Renaissance with the musicality of string Baroque review. Through hinterlands beyond the light of Bavarian hubs, Lady Winter awaits her springtime lover with hinted breath of purple crocus on shamrock bed of Irish clover, and holds a candled lantern in her hand, fading in withering silence into an amulet of wreathed and banded gold. End poem. And this is written to prompt 4, Joy, from the album December. Gray, did you want to
read
this? Thank you.
Sure. I really liked it throughout. I mean, you know, it really is captivating, you know, in the imagination, you know, at December snow blanket softly in white, carpeting hazelnut grass in crystal light. Tall icicle pines trace fall's frozen lips till spring's green shadow releases Summer's Hot Kiss. I mean, you know, she pretty much captured every season in that first stanza, but I like the breakdown of it, you know. Through hinterlands beyond the light of Bavarian hubs, Lady Winter awaits her springtime lover with hinted breath of purple crocus on shamrock bed of Irish clover and holds a candled lantern in her hand, fading in withering silence into an amulet of wreathed and banded gold. Yeah, that's just beautiful. Excellent write and a fantastic read, Daniel.
Thank you, thank you. And Kate?
Oh, my, just lovely. That picture prompt for a start, that's absolutely gorgeous. But my particular favorite stanza, I think, has to be the second one. And Lady Winter, gowned in hail, swirls through clementine haze with gray-eyed silver face, tightening her grip where tall mountains swell from trickling rivers to narrowing dell. That's just lovely. Really is. At flows. And I love poetry that just, you know, there is no hesitation. There is no awkwardness. It just flows like the river, in fact, and beautifully done. So thank you very much for sharing that with us, Captain Curl.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you, Weaver. Yeah, and so far the poems have been very, you know, there's all different types of poetry that we read, right? Sometimes it's very philosophical and we're all talking about, you know, the philosophy and the ideas behind it. But so far they've all been very, very much feeling. And I think that really encompasses the music. You know, when I listen to George's music, it's not, you know, it's instrumental, but it really has a feel. Like, he's very, very descriptive, and you really get this kind of feel of whatever he is he's trying to describe. And that's, I think, can be even a harder type of poetry to write, where you're really trying to get that feel. So it's not as philosophical, right, but it's, or idea-based as it is, just the feel of everything and the description. That can be hard, but all the poetry has been like this, and this is obviously the same thing. And it was really, really well done. I just such great descriptions. And what I said was, this is such a beautiful descriptive wording. That's what I wrote on there. I could really feel the winter as a deity, and I really did. Like, he really took this person and characterized her. And like, she sleeps in handsown wind through mirrored dawn, to wake in northern arms in starling song, then glides atop the crest of Arctic waves, dusting, you know, Celtic highlands and Siberian plains. So you can just kind of feel this deity kind of flying around and, you know, dusting the world in snow. I thought that was really cool. So awesome job. And Weaver, I have a question for you. So me being an American and you being in Scotland, is it Celtic or Celtic? How do you pronounce that?
Celtic.
Okay, it is Celtic. Okay, I'm saying it right. Okay.
You are, definitely.
Because we have the basketball team here, the Celtics, but I think it should be probably the Celtics. And my wife always pronounces it Celtic, so excellent, excellent. I got it right in the poem, so that's good.
Definitely.
All right, cool.
So, awesome. So next we have Seasons of Sorrow by Ben Hart, and I will give this a read. 1. Lover. I watched the streetlight flicker on the corner where I was born. Cars don't drive here in the dark. Birds lost their wing to whatever it was they had been singing. So, and the moment slows, I watch. Light purple into halos. One let them go into dim. To drift into nowhere. And I imagine it is someone who needs it, where it's headed, but who knows? I'm still here, a ghost haunting his cradle, slowly killing memories that looked better in pictures, trying parts of myself to the green light, tying parts of myself to the light leaving upon tides of its own, into distance, into the memory of the endless horizon, of the gravity of love, of a swan who sometimes came to sit with me when I was just about to join the silence, to God. I don't expect you to believe the suffering of man to matter, or perhaps it's something you envy, the rush of denying death such an easy meal. But I hope one day we'll get to know how happiness feels, because it never sustained us before. And then, well, then we're not holding out for hope anymore. So perhaps we'll have some room to feel something beyond euphoria's loneliness. 3, mother, I never meant to surrender to her arms when the days rained by and you strayed. It just happened that way. I'm sorry, Ma, that I fail you now, but it seems God has made up his mind and this ship is going down. I love you, Ma. You raised me well, and I'm sorry. I grew into another sad man, which are familiar sight in hell. I'm sorry, Ma, that there was so much pain in this heart I grew from you, a good heart for which I fought, but now it seems this beating was in vain. I am sorry, Ma. Don't look for me in the rain. I'm not coming home. I'll be with Da, Henry, and John, just in case you ever wonder where all the good men have gone. I'm sorry, Ma. I'll give your love to God and make sure he knows what lucky sons you've got. And I know it hurts, but remember, Ma, none of us are lost. 4, Muse, you come here lost, a lantern in skies of thought, a siren trying to drown, strangers with their head in the clouds. You kill not to be nourished, but to see born bleeding, light leaving, light leave iris beacons, mock the flightless with freedom, slay horrid beasts like me with only beauty, just for the game, just to show Venus that this is your arena, and poets are at war with time are only as good as the muse that chose him. But you didn't choose me. You haunt me. You kill me softly with every whispered, all will be well. You come here lost, and yet you make of me a stranger in this mind by telling me the cost of my love. I am no longer poet. I become man, forever undone. End poem.
Awesome, Gray. Great read. And one of the things I love Ben. He's a great guy, a great poet. And what I like about him is he did prompt 4 was part number 2, but then he had other prompts from other things, including the song Old Anxiety. And he does that a lot where we give him prompts, but he gets other idea, like it inspires him for other things as well too, which I think is really, really neat. I like the way he does that. So, God, I don't expect you to believe the suffering of man to matter, or perhaps it's something you envy, the rush of denying death at such an easy meal, but I hope one day we get to know how happiness feels. That's really, really interesting. And he's done that before where he's personifying God, which, can you do that? Because God's supposed to be, it's really hard. I mean, we're starting to talk about the nature of God now. And I don't, I don't expect you to believe the suffering of man to matter. So almost saying like, we're so trivial in the universe that, he doesn't, that's the answer to why do people suffer? Or perhaps it's something you envy, right? Because if God is immortal and can't do anything, he can't feel pain. You can't. And that's that, one of those questions of, do you want to be immortal? Is life less precious if you can never die? Does not mean as much because of that. So interesting questions that he has there. I also like part 2. Old Anxiety was interesting to come up with this whole kind of cry out to mother that he has here. And it's an interesting topic, too. It made me think of the times when I had disappointed my mother, and it's the thing I didn't want to do the most. When I was growing up, the thing more than anything that I didn't want to do was upset them or disappoint them. I just couldn't bear that I did that. And it's kind of funny because my son is the same way. The thing he hates the most is if my wife and I are upset. Like when we were younger, if my wife and I would fight, which we never, to be honest, really had a fight, but we would just get upset, and talk loud, but it wasn't a fight. It was just, you know, it was nothing, you know. But to him, it was when he was younger, and it's the thing he just hated the most. And it's interesting, you know, from what I've seen in most people, if you have a good relationship with your parents, it's the one thing you don't want to do is upset them or disappoint them. You know, and being a parent, you know, I understand that more, because what I want more than anything is to see my son succeed and be happy, right? So if he's not doing that, it is a disappointment. So it's interesting. So you raised me well, and I'm sorry I grew into another sad man, which are a familiar sight in hell. So, you know, he's not sorry for his sins. He's not sorry for the punishment he has to go through. He's sorry for disappointing his mother, which I think is a beautiful thought and an interesting thought, you know, and that kind of maternal, love. But awesome job. I just kind of picked those little sections there. So great job as always, Ben. Thank you so much for writing for the prompt. And Kate, go for it.
My goodness me, there is so much in this poem. Wow. I do love the way he gives you these different it's looks into him, if you know what I mean. It's looking into the man when you read what he writes. And I think it's fascinating the way his mind works. It's and so you have all these different aspects of what he sees or what he hears when he's listening to this music. I thought it was wonderful. I was very sad about the mother part. That made me sad. For him, I suppose, and for myself, because I didn't have any kind of relationship with parents that wasn't terrible. So I do. I envy that, and it's lovely that you care enough. But then you think to yourself, well, if you care enough, why are you going? Because this is the final going. This is not just I'm going down the road to get some bread. This is a big goodbye, and that's really sad, sad. So, yes, beautifully written as ever. Wonderfully read, by the way, and most enjoyable in a sad way. So thank you, Ben, for sharing.
It was a beautiful read, Gray. And thank you, Weaver. Sorry about, bad relationship with your parents. But my opinion for what I know about you turned out to be great. So, that can happen, unfortunately. So really sorry to hear some things like that. Ben is an interesting character too. If you guys don't know about him, he's a very young guy. He's only like 23 years old. He's a very prolific writer, and he does all his own artwork usually for the contest as well too. So he's a very accomplished young man. And Robbie's poetry. Robbie is on the board. So thanks, Robbie, for coming on. I really appreciate it. And Gray, you got to read that epic poem. What did you think?
Yeah, it's a heart-wrenching poem. I mean, it really captures it with the title, Seasons of Sorrow. But, like we all hate to disappoint our mother, and it really tears into our heart and soul when we do. And, you know, it really hit home for me because, I've had my issues over the past few years, and I feel like I've let my mother down in her time of her golden years, you know. I feel like I'm not living up to what I could have in life. And so this really hit home for me. It made me think of my own situation with my mother. So, deeply heartfelt, right, Ben? And thank you for sharing.
Excellent, excellent comment. Yeah, and the deep thing, you know, that bond is no matter what, it's always there. All right, cool. And we have one up by Hats. Is that my turn to read on that one?
It is, yeah.
Or is it? All right, cool. I will give that a read. Give me a second here. And just getting it up on my screen. All right, and this is by Hats. It's called The Days When Even Cold Felt Happier and Cozy. Hey, Vern. Autumn mornings while it's still dark remind me of my childhood. A street view of a street of new skyscrapers for us at that time, and at the house of grandparents, parents of my dad, where in winter the frost penetrated through the broken panels of the old brown door, where I always shivered from the cold while waiting for a tea in the morning. Yet I love to remember those days as a difficult but at the same time beautiful period of life. The same with the other grandparents in the village, where they heated the stove with wooden coal, lit by a kerosene lamp, an old house where we returned from evening mass in the winter. The snow was crunching under our feet. The breath turned into smoke and created the illusion of cigarette haze. I raced with my brother to be the first to strike a match and light it. Autumn childhood lives. Frost creeps through the droughty door, coal and wood crackling. End poem. And I actually asked to read this one because I really, I really felt this one. So I appreciate you letting me read it, Gray. Hats, I've been reading some of Hats, some Emily's poems lately, and they realize that I think her and I are like kindred spirits. I'd like to meet her someday. I bet you we could be friends because she's been writing this style of poetry where it's almost storytelling in poetry storytelling, just kind of talking about reminiscing. And so far, everything I've read, I could relate to it. It reminded me of things in my childhood, which is why I wanted to read it and why I've really been liking these writings that she's been doing. And, you know, it's really talking about kind of visiting, you know, days when even cold felt happier and cozy. You know, and, you know, you think about sometimes, like, when you watch sometimes Christmas movies, right, sometimes you're seeing these kind of, you know, everybody in these houses, and they're warm, and everything's great, and the house is perfect, and all this stuff sometimes when you watch these things, but you know, I also, you know, that's kind of how my childhood was. My parents actually had some money, so we always were warm, and we had stuff, so I lived a pretty okay childhood, but I do remember my grandparents and my wife and I, to be honest, I don't have a lot of money now either. And I put coats on in the wintertime and keep the heat down. We have a very drafty old house. And I remember my grandparents the same way. And I remember my father and my mother both grew up in the Great Depression. And they were kids then, and my aunts and uncles as well, too. And they talk about those times. And, you know, I remember there was this, this is a kind of off-topic story, but there was this ring that my father gave me that I remember asking my aunts about, and my aunt saying, like, what? No, there's no way he still has that ring, because my grandfather would have sold it. If we had anything, we would have sold it for food. And that's how they were back then. Like, they didn't really, you know, that my father's generation, his sisters and all that, they, you know, my father passed away, my parents passed away, they didn't have a lot of stuff because they just got rid of it. They didn't keep things, because when they grew up, you know, it wasn't about material things. It was about, you know, they had to sell a lot of their stuff for food. And, you know, I know she's not talking about abject poverty here, but she's talking about kind of an old house where basically in the wintertime what they had with each other, you know, it wasn't about coming home and eating lots of food and having a television and all kinds of things. It was more about, you know, racing home to be the first to strike the match and light it. It was about hanging around and sitting around the campfire and just being with each other. And, you know, one can argue, is that a better experience, right, than coming home with all kinds of food and presents and, you know, like I said, televisions and big houses and games and things where, you know, these people are you know, she says, the broken panels, the old brown door, where I shivered from the cold while waiting for tea in the morning, yet I love to remember those days as difficult but at the same time beautiful life period. Because a lot of times those difficult times are the times that, you know, may not seem as pleasant. You look back in fondness, almost like you went through them together with somebody, you know. It can be almost a proud moment of, you know, I know what it's like to live like that. And if you do have a chance to live in poverty or live where you don't have a lot, you live in drafty houses and things, it can make, you know, when you do have things, make it so much more precious that you appreciate it. So anyway, this one just, I really enjoy Hats, you know, Emily's work, her nostalgia writings that she's been doing lately have all kind of related to me. So I really appreciated this one. Yeah. So thanks for letting me read it. And thank you, Emily, for posting. And we, Weaver, let's go to you.
Yes, I'm like you. I really enjoy Hat's work. I really do. And I love nostalgia. I can't help it. The older I get, the more I enjoy other people's reminiscences of whatever, you know. It's always interesting. And again, it tells you a lot about the person, doesn't it? And this is lovely. My mother's parents were sort of Irish, Scottish, and they had vast amounts of children and not an awful lot of money. So I can understand that entirely. My grandmother on my mother's side used to have a kettle and a teapot always boiling away, and the tea just kept getting water added to it as the day went on, and it was awful. But they just put a lot of sugar in it, I think, and just as long as it was there, you know. So yes, lovely memories. And they are, no matter how hard they are, if there is love there, then the memories are always wonderful. And that's what this seems to be. So beautifully written. And thank you so much for sharing with us, Hats.
Absolutely. Yeah, my father used to kid around. He said they used to eat jam sandwiches a lot. They would jam two pieces of bread together and eat it. that's what he'd say. You know, and he would tell me about, Christmases. You know, we nowadays in the United States, people get spoiled on Christmas, but he would tell me they'd go downstairs and sometimes there would be no presents. Or you might just literally just get a pair of socks, so you get one present, you know, and that's just how it was in those days sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, interesting. Gray, what do you think? Gray is mutating, I think.
Oh, dear.
Sorry. This kind of reminded me of my childhood, too. I mean, we grew up very poor on an Indian reservation in Canada with a drafty house and an old oil stove that broke down half the time. So, you know, we'd have to bundle up, you know, to get through the night. You know, we'd be layered and layered and layered in clothing trying to stay warm. And, you know, so I kind of remember that as well. The desperation that comes with, you know, the lack of having, you know, is quite sad and painful. But at the same time, you know, it makes you stronger as you come through with what you do have. You know, it makes you take care of what you do have a little bit more, and you know, respect that you do have, you know, with through the abundance. So. Yeah, I thought it was a wonderful reminiscent, right, about growing up in the cold of winter. So, great job.
Yeah, absolutely.
You did a fantastic job reading it.
Thank you. And Robbie said, I'd want the best of both experiences, the closeness that comes from lack, but still the abundance. Yeah, that would be good. I think I've been to sometimes, you know, you don't get it necessarily at the same time, but you can get that at different times of your life, you know, that people have. So. Like Gray said, you know, you can appreciate more. Geez, Gray, up in Canada there, that must have been tough with no heater. That must have been really cold at times.
Yeah. Like I said, I remember being bundled up in layers and layers of clothing trying to stay warm because the furnace had broke down again. And,
wow.
Yeah, so we used to have an oil furnace, which, I don't know, they can be tricky and smelly. But,
yeah.
You know, you did appreciate it when it was on, for sure. Need to think about it
yep.
that much more when you were freezing.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, cool. So where are we going next? Great.
So we have Found George Winston by Daylight Stevens. If you wouldn't mind reading that, please, Weaver.
Yes, absolutely. No problem. Found George Winston by Daylight Stevens. Every year it finds me, George Winston's December, an old cassette of New Age music, no ex-mass steamroller or drugstore fruitcake, just a dose of healing comfort and joy, this time of the season. His trademark rolling rhymes, made to lure the chilled and wordless sky, autumn's outworn leaves blow by, and what goes on outside the window is a dance for snow to fend and follow the storm. He played only piano, reviving chestnuts with a driving charm that survives from year to year and often will bring hot tears to these older eyes when I allow myself to be homesick and sad. When the propaganda turned darkly bad, he wielded strong music with pacific hands despite October's wars and fear-filled Christmas to come. The muse that lifted him is found again and helps us want to live. End poem.
Thank you, Kate. And he wrote in his author's notes, I appreciate Joe Swinson's work more as I revisit it this time of year. The piece is based on his album, December. And yeah, Daylight sounds like he's a George Winston fan, and he kind of listens to it. And he does have a lot of Christmas type music. His most famous albums are Autumn, December, which does have a song called Thanksgiving in it, and then Winter into Spring. Those are kind of his most famous ones. So it's a lot of, even though it's not necessarily Christmas music, it's something to play around this time of year, and it really fits it too. I love that. Where is it? It survives year to year and often will bring hot tears to these older eyes. That was a great thing of sentiment when I allow myself to be homesick and sad. music is so interesting. You know, one of the reasons I think George means a lot to me is I discovered him when I was really discovering music, which is basically the end of high school and the beginning of college. I was just immersed in music, and I couldn't listen to enough, like every style, everything, and I just kept finding all these things, and he was one of the ones I found then. So it's something that, you know, kind of means a lot to me back at this time when music was this magical new thing that I was just immersing myself in. So he George has some nostalgia to me as well too. And I like the reference of an old cassette of new age music, no mass steamrolls or drugstore fruitcake, just a dose of healing. It's interesting. I hope he actually keeps doing the cassette tape. There is, I actually have a ton of cassette tapes still. I grew up in the 80s, and you know, so that I have that was the cassette tape age, and I still have them all. I hope he still plays this cassette tape of it. That makes me happy for some strange reason. Even though I've bought everything on, you know, rebought everything digital, but something about the old cassette tapes or the 8-tracks or the vinyl, it's still good. But excellent job, Daylight. Really, really appreciate it. What do you think, Gray?
Yeah, you know, I thought it was a fantastic write. You know, it really captured the essence of George Winston, in my opinion. He played piano, reviving chestnuts with a driving charm that survives from year to year and often brings hot tears to these older eyes when I allow myself to be homesick and sad. You know, that's kind of what it does for me too. It causes you to reminisce and think back on memories that you have and experiences that you've had and the losses that you've suffered in that time. But, you know, it's also uplifting at the same time. It helps us want to live again. You know, it reminds us that we have lived and that we will live. So I thought it's a beautiful, touching poem. Absolutely beautiful. You did a great job reading it, Lieber.
Thank you.
Excellent, excellent. All right, where are we going now?
I think Weaver needs to comment.
Oh, she didn't comment. I'm so sorry, Weaver. Yeah, that's right. I'm already losing it here. Yes, please comment.
Thank you. It doesn't really matter because I just bubble some rubbish anyway, so don't worry about it. I thought this was just lovely. I really did. This is somebody who loves the music and, like yourself, obviously appreciates it so much. And I remember cassettes. You remember when somebody made you a mixtape? I love that.
Oh yeah.
And that was great fun. I found one on my mat once when I was younger. I don't know who it came from. It was just put through the letterbox, and it was beautiful. And I still don't know, even to this day, who made it for me. I hope it was for me.
Isn't that strange?
Yes.
Wow.
Very strange. Very strange. That was in the days when I was on the old CB here in Scotland, the CB was a very enjoyable thing to us, but it was illegal. And I just kept meeting people through this. So it could have been any one of those, but it was lovely. So anyway, yes, this, absolutely beautiful. And I loved the same as you did, I think. He played only piano, reviving chestnuts with a driving charm that survives from year to year and often will bring hot tears to these older eyes. That's lovely. Isn't that beautiful? But yes, I think this is a lovely ode to somebody who obviously touched an awful lot of people with his work. So very well done, Daylight Stevens. So thanks for sharing.
Wonderful comment, Weaver. Thank you. All right, so next we have Wind Chimes by Kaylin Rose Wayman, and I will give this a read. I write for the ages. I write for the times. I write for the sounds of the musical chimes. They hang from the awning. They hang from the eave. They hang from the trees with all the beautiful leaves. The subtle breeze in the air, it escalates over time. It keeps the wind chimes ringing. It's a beautiful sound. It puts me in a daydream, a daze, a trance. Oh, what music to my ears. End poem.
Great read. That was beautiful, Gray. And I like this, and I really, you know, it was really funny. When I read this, I totally got it because, George, you know, he said his inspiration is from Colors Dance from the album Autumn. And it does sound like wind chimes, you know. You can hear the way he you know, tickles the ivory, for lack of a better term. It can have that kind of feel to it, some of it, of the wind chimes. And wind chimes are, they are interesting. It's funny because even before I read this, I've been thinking about wind chimes, that it's almost like nature playing music, right? Because it's the wind that is controlling it. So it's not a person doing this. This is it's almost like, you know, when you listen to the leaves, it can be the wind and the trees talking. And, you know, wind chimes is just like this natural kind of a sound, this beautiful sound. So it's interesting to me. I've always liked, I have wind chimes in my house, and I've always liked, you know, sitting there listening to them and just trying to see if I can almost interpret them. I'm trying to get, you know, metaphysical here, but just, you know, wondering, you know, kind of listening to it as music. So I thought that was a really, really interesting take on that, translating the music of the piano over to wind chimes and the wind actually kind of playing it. So, yeah, I thought that was great and beautiful brevity and beautiful read, Gray. And what do you think, Weaver?
Oh, I agree totally. This is so clever. As you say, adapting completely to the actual sounds. I loved it. I thought it was really lovely. The subtle breeze in the air, it escalates over time to keep the wind chimes ringing. It's a beautiful sound. It puts me in a daydream, a daze, a trance. Yes, I thought this was beautifully written. Very clever and just well put together. I love that. I really appreciate that. The ability to make something in so few words give you all these lovely feelings of and I love wind chimes. For me, it's a personification of the wind, as you've already said. And the wind is my favorite thing. So yes, beautifully done. Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much, Callan Rose.
Excellent. And Gray.
Yeah, you know, I've always been amazed by wind chimes, you know, because, like you said, it's the wind playing the instrument, which is a magical thing, you know. I was always intrigued and enchanted by wind chimes, you know, playing their music in the wind, which is just a beautiful thing. So it was a great write and a fabulous read as well.
Excellent. And for this prompt, I think we have one more left. Did you want to put yours up, Weaver? You have to give a SoundCloud with it, too.
No, I wasn't going to bother. I just, because I don't normally put something in if I'm going to be on the show. No, we'll just, if there's any space at the end, we can play it then, but no bother. Now, I'm not very sure about this next one. Gray, this is actually a piece of poetry, is it?
The
Art of
Next
Autumn.
One I'm
sorry?
No. That's actually the contest. So actually, And right. I'll respect, you know, whatever you want to do, Weaver, if you, you know, we can put yours at the end. That's, you know, respect to your decisions. But that's actually, we're actually going now on. That's the whole, that was that whole contest with George. George, hey, if you're listening up there, we love you, and thanks for all the great music. So now we're going on. I posted this, Weaver. I didn't post it correctly. Kind of made a little bit of a mess of it. So there's three contests in here.
Yeah.
So that Art of Autumn, A Bad Company, that's the next contest.
Okay.
So the first poem will be E.J. Cool's. So the next contest is another one on autumn that I put up. I figured I kind of continue that since we are in autumn here. And it's really just based on some pictures that I took. So the first, if anybody that's following along and wants to check out the link, the first one is just a picture of a pathway. It's a park near right up the street from where I live. And it's just some trees, and it's interesting because the leaves had fallen down now, and somebody had swept over the path, so the path is kind of going between the leaves. The second one, you'll appreciate, Kate, is actually back from 1993, a picture I took in Wales, just some random stuff beside of the road. I just kind of stopped and thought it was very beautiful and took a picture back with, you know, not a digital camera, a regular camera, and that was when I was in Wales in 1993. The next picture is just a picture of kind of like a field with a fence, and it's sort of in the fall, and it's just a farm kind of by farmland by where I live. And then the fourth one is a picture of a house. It's a walkway up to a house with lots and lots of plant life all around it. So it's, you know, I'm not doing the pictures justice, but that's what the four prompts are. So everybody, if you want to, anybody that's on the, that's listening in, if you want to check out the contest and you can actually see the pictures. Yeah, but we, I think that's the first one is E.J. Cool. And who should read that one, Ray?
Yeah, Weaver, if you want to give that a read, please. Thank you.
Yes, of course. My pleasure. Cornucopia by E.G. Cool. In pristine cobalt skies, hovering above clandestine eyes, a chain carousal of vultures glides. Jet wings collect like nostalgia's breath on a creaking swim set to orbit death. Placid in passivity, feathered scavengers seek not pity, but a share of the bloated bounty, destined to become a cornucopia of viscera under the midday sun. End poem.
Excellent read. And this, EJ got the silver on this. That was a really interesting take on the fall. So almost thinking of it as as going towards death is what I had, if I want to read into it here. But jet wings collect like nostalgia's breath on creaking swing set to orbit death is interesting. And you know, in the wintertime, because it's colder out, you do get more vapor trails. So you do get, you know, that nostalgia's breath. That's the way I took that was interesting. But I might be wrong about that. It's just what came to mind. In the pristine cobalt skies, hovered by the clandestine eyes, a chain carousel of vultures glides. Plasticity in passivity, feathered scavengers seeking not pity, but sharing the bloated bounty destined to become. You know, interesting, just an interesting take of where, you know, all the plant life kind of, in a way, it doesn't really die, but it kind of goes away. You know, the life that we think of, that love, the springtime and the summertime where everything is just alive, everything kind of goes away in the fall. So it's this kind of cornucopia of almost destruction. You know, it does look beautiful to us, but it is, everything's kind of going away. Right. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily die, right, because everything comes back in the springtime. It really goes to sleep. But, excuse me, it was a very interesting take, I thought, on the prompt. And I thought it was really well written. What are your thoughts, Gray?
Yeah, you know, I enjoyed all the imagery that was woven in this. You could see everything that he spoke of, and which is a talented thing to be able to do. And, you know, Weaver, you did a wonderful job of reading this poem, but you could hear her in the right, you know, you could hear her spirit, which is also not easy to do. But I enjoyed Jet Wings Collect like Nostalgia's Breath on a Creaking Swing Set to Orbit Death. How beautiful is that? Just a wonderful, captivating poem, heartfelt and wonderfully received. So thank you for sharing, EJ.
Very cool, Gray. And what'd you think, Weaver? You got to read it.
It was a pleasure to read. I particularly loved the feeling in that last stanza. It kind of just hit you. It wasn't creeping up on you. It hit you. I loved it. There was no scouting about, no trying to put it in a pretty way. This is life. This is death. This is what happens. Placid in passivity, feathered scavengers seek not pity, but a share of the bloated bounty, destined to become a cornucopia of viscera under the midday sun. Wow. That really brings it home, doesn't it? Beautifully done. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much, EJ.
Cool. All right. Where do you want to go now?
And now we have the diddy. Over to you, Gray.
Autumn's Masterpiece by Hannah Lou. If you wouldn't mind reading that, please. Daniel?
Of course, I would love to. Autumn's Masterpiece. Autumn has arrived with beauty to share, intent in transforming with visionary flair, injecting deep color with crimson tides. Her vibrant paintbrush drips and dyes. An artist, she flows with quiet muse, ochre tones blending with rusty hues. A final flourish splashed notes of gold. Autumn's Masterpiece, her story told. End poem. And we could start with you, Gray.
Yeah, beautiful read, Daniel. And I enjoyed it. You know, she really does capture the artist that Autumn is, you know, changing the season into gold and rusty hues. You know, she's quite a beautiful artist, and I enjoy her season. So thank you for the personification of Autumn. Great write, Hannah Lou, and a fabulous read, Daniel.
Thank you, Gray. Thank you. It's great comments. And yes, I like it. I like Autumn as the artist. You know, I thought that was really great to personify. And it is really true. It really is artwork. It's different every year, too. You know, we don't necessarily know that, but it always depends on how much water, right, and how the seasons went. So some years it's very brighter tones. Some years it's a little bit duller, but every year it's still something. It's a little bit different kind of each year. And I like the end, last line of her story told. So it's really like it is kind of telling the story of Autumn as well, too. You're kind of seeing it come alive. You know, right now where I am in New England, it's an interesting autumn because it's a lot warmer. The trees are turning, but it's actually taking the trees a lot longer. Usually I've noticed as soon as the trees start turning, the leaves are usually gone within 2 weeks, but it's taking a lot longer for that to happen. So different story this year, right? That's what that made me think of. But, yeah, I enjoyed it. It was very beautiful, very descriptive. So great job, Hannah Lou. And Weaver.
Yes. Yes. It was beautifully done. That I love that first stanza. It just set it up beautifully. Oh, I must stop saying beautifully. Good grief, woman. Sorry. Autumn has arrived with beauty to share, intent in transforming with visionary flair. And that's exactly what happens. Transforms from that, like various shades of green, which is lovely. But then you get this color and this rush of vibrancy. I don't even think that's a word. So, yes, beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. An artist, she flows with quiet muse, ochre tones blending with rusty hues. That sums it up in those few words. So, very well done. I enjoyed it very much, Hannah Lou.
Great comment, Weaver. All right, so we've got Sweet Because by Rosie Jeans, and I will give this a read. Bird chirp, why do you sing? My daughter Daisy was right. This songbird is cold. I went back to change my dress to an actual October one. since not feeling sun on my shoulders, doesn't have singing evaporate easily to pace with strolling. But now in my black hoodie, midi, it encapsulates the warmth, not for the imagination with the eyes, through a window pane to another pane, but deep motivation to do as told what's good for me. However, is that just kicking the gravel to see if any can spark like that sunset, or how it can transition me, nostalgic to the tail, yellow-leaved wonder? Did Cloud have a good kick in the womb before I could only call out that name in mine and not the air that can choke some from coming? The gravel's not crunching as snow, yet now it feels like it could, as the tumbleweeds are ready to blow with the flakes. While a vehicle goes by with its exhaust pipe, I could pronounce snakes as miscarriage pronounces car, and a child could say, I hate you. I look down at my walking stick's base as a child's big clay art craft of a snowflake for the winter that set in my bones from the spring that never came. A crisp breeze goes across my garment, penetrating my chest as to take away a treasure, but I shiver to hold on to it in my heart with ruffled feathers for a nest, not inviting the wind to only have a feather fly away with its intrusion. But what comfort can be fused as bones? Take a deep breath, opens the topic as sunsets needing to be tropical. But then the door again, the other way, to sweet chill of mine. End poem.
Great job, Gray. And this was really interesting. I give it, it got the bronze. I thought it was very introspective, very thought-provoking. Really took you on a journey here. So Bird Chirp, Why Do You Sing? My Daughter Daisy is right. That songbird is cold. She changed her dress to October 1, since not feeling the sun on my shoulders. Doesn't have singing evaporate easy to pace the strolling. But now my black hoodie escapes. It encapsulates the warmth, not for imagination with eyes. However, that is just kicking the gravel to see if any sparkle like a sunset or how can transition me. It's kind of interesting. It reminds me of a couple of things. It's a little bit dark, and it's fun. It's fun to have a couple of dark takes. You know, the George Winston ones we had, it was a lot of very musical. There was a lot of rhyming, right, because it was people would be inspired by music. And this one here, we've had a couple of darker takes on autumn, which I think is very interesting. And in a strange way, it reminds me of, I can't remember the name of the song, but the Joni Mitchell where it says, you know, pay paradise, put up a parking lot. What's the name of that song? I can't remember. Somebody tell me if anyone's listening or if any of you guys know. But it reminds me of that almost where, you know, the gravel's not, she's walking on gravel and it's not crunching lights. It's not crunching as snow. A vehicle goes by with its exhaust pipe. I can pronounce snakes as a miscarriage pronounces cars. So it's almost like she's kind of, you know, she's in a city or on pavement, and it's just not the same as being out in the woods. And it is interesting, you know, when you're in the city or when you're on the streets in the wintertime, it is a very cold, dark place. Like if you touch anything, it's very cold. If you're out in the city in the winter, you touch the metal, it's very, very cold. Whereas even in the forest or wherever, when it's really cold, when you get a frost, it's cold, but it's that kind of crunchy, you know, very interesting kind of take. It's almost comforting. When you're walking on the grass isn't soft, it's hard, it's kind of frozen, but it almost has this kind of, you know, supportive comfort to it, I will say. So not when the snow is on there, but just when it's very, very cold. You know, it's certainly more comfortable in the warm winter, like lying in the grass, but it's just an interesting and comforting feel sometimes, so very different than the pavement. So yeah, this is very thought-provoking. I enjoyed it a lot. And let's go to you, Weaver. Oh, we might have a guest here.
We have a caller. It's Robbie's Poetry, I believe. Hello, and welcome to the show, Robbie.
Hello. I didn't know you had such a loud doorbell now for the... I like that. I like it. Ding dong, someone's here.
Hey, Robbie. Yeah.
Hello, Daniel.
And how you doing? Did you get to listen to the poem?
Yeah, and I read it over a little bit.
Excellent. Did you want to comment at all?
Sure. On a humorous note, I was just saying in chat when people get cold, or when people feel the cold in that, some silly people out there decide that they want to dare and lick a pole and see what. Oh, my tongue's not going to stick, and then sure enough, it does, and they're a damn fool.
Yep.
But on a serious note, there's a lot of give and take on this in this poem, and it's like you were saying, like it isn't the same in the city as it is in nature with the winter and just I guess you could say the environment in general. And there's kind of something here that alludes to the other poem with me, and you were kind of saying along the lines of where there's a certain comfort, and I was just thinking of like how there's a certain sort of coziness and comfort of bracing against the cold, as long as it isn't like so cold that it's like chilling you to the bone. But I think of, you know, people in a ski lodge, cozied around the fireplace, that sort of thing. So that kind of made me think of that, and that kind of bridged my thoughts over to your other poem where you're talking about where, you know, you have a family that's close and perhaps closer because of their some of the lack that they have, right? So that's what I saw there. And I also enjoyed the imagery of some of this imagery. There's a lot of kind of give and take in this poem, like about the snake and the exhaust and that, and I'm not too sure if it's the right way to verbalize it, but it's kind of like this tension of give and take with nature and both how it affects you and between and also with the tension between nature versus man's artificial, you know, his environment, like the pavement, city, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's very interesting, Robbie. You're right. There is definitely some give and take in it, and the back and forth or the yin and yang, you might say, of city and forest is an interesting concept too. So, all right, cool. Thanks. I'm so glad you're here, Robbie. Great comment. Weaver, what do you think?
Yeah, another beautiful piece of poetry. I really am enjoying this evening. There's so much. I thought this was excellent. I liked, because I have a cane that I use all the time, so this kind of took me. I looked down at my walking stick base as a child's big clay art craft of a snowflake, for the winter that sets in my bones from the spring that never came. Lovely, isn't it? It's sad, but lovely. So I think, yeah, this has got, as you say, yin and yang. There's so much in this, and I did really enjoy it a lot. So I have to say thank you for sharing that with us, Rose Jeans. Well done.
Very cool, very cool. You got to read it. What'd you think, Ray?
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. You know, it's kind of got a melancholy to it, but winter does have a melancholy to it. And, you know, I enjoyed the title, Sweet, because, you know, the sweet chill of mine is how it ended, which is how it started. So that's great. And but a deep breath opens the topic as sunsets needing to be tropical, but then the door again, the other way, to sweet chill of mine. A fantastic write, and it was a pleasure to read it. Song you were thinking of was called A Big Yellow Taxi. Came and took my man away.
Ah, you're right. That was it. Excellent. Thanks, Gray. Good job.
Yeah. All right, so we have Spatters by A.R. Mundell. If you wouldn't mind reading that for us, please, Robbie.
Okay. Spatters. A peppering of autumn across the verdant lawn, as showers scatter puddled clouds and light returns forlorn. End poem.
Excellent read. And, yeah, absolutely. And Sheeta, you know, I've read all of Amy's AR stuff, but Amy's stuff, but you know, a lot of her, she writes for a lot of contests, and I haven't seen a lot of her brevity, so it's great to see something different. And yeah, it was really interesting feel. You know, brevities are hard. They can be really hard to do, especially for somebody like me. I never shut up, as most people can probably see when I'm on here, or if anybody's read my poetry, I can't seem to go on. So brevities can be difficult sometimes. Can't tell you how many brevities I've read of, like, okay, 30 words, I can do that. And then I go and it's 50 words and I'm like, oh, okay, how do I cut this down? But she did a really interesting, I thought the adjectives in here were very, very interesting with the descriptions, or even the verbs, the peppering of autumn, and then the verdant lawn. Verdant's a great way to describe that. A shower scatter puddled clouds and light returns forlorn. So interesting how she concentrated kind of on the puddles, on the water in autumn, which water in autumn is a very interesting thing as well too, because it can be cold, it can also get ice, depending on where you are in the world. So I thought that was very interesting and very beautifully done, Amy, as always. I love it when you come on our contests. Gray, let's go to you.
Yeah, you know, I liked it. It really captures the seasonal change between the burning grass and the rains. And I liked it a lot. You know, it was a great read, Robbie, and an enjoyable poem, Amy. So thank you for sharing.
Thanks, Gray. Kate, it is your turn.
Okie dokie. In a way, I'm kind of disappointed that this is a brevity, because I do really enjoy Amy's writing, but it is a wonderful brevity. It's really enjoyable, and it does, you know, you've scrunched together autumn and allowed it to be something that's really quite special. And I love that penultimate line, scatter puddled clouds. Well, wonderful. It's just so clever. And light returns for long. Yeah. Very well done, as ever, and very enjoyable. So thank you for sharing.
You know, it's funny, when I first read it, the exact same thing came across my mind. I was like, oh, man, well, like, I like more words from Amy. I mean, it was great, Amy. It was awesome. But, yeah, I like your I always like reading your stuff. So the more words, the better from you. And awesome job reading it, Robbie. What were your thoughts when you were reading it?
Well, as is the case with any brevity that's particularly well done, it has that kind of a slice of life or a moment in time. Excuse me, sorry. it's sort of a feel to it. And as you said, I like the description of a peppering of autumn. It just had that very, like, the feel of the poem, I felt like it is a very relaxed, you know, sort of feel. I just felt like the overall feeling generated by the poem suited the subject matter very well, complemented it very well.
Excellent. All right. Now, what do we want to do?
So next we have Arboreal Time by Robert J. Tice. If you wouldn't mind reading that, please, Daniel.
Yes, of course. And this got the gold in this contest for Robert, who's a great poet. Arboreal Time. Excuse me. The tree that keeps its leaves through fall depicts one wish: to stay in the sight of orchids, cornstalks, wheat, the sprawl of clover, ivy, crows in flight, before more orange, red, and gold dissolve when earth grows pale and cold. Yet leafless trees feel more like me, no longer hoarding or so caught by what must plunge toward history or sink beneath dead roots of thought. Entangled branches, birth, decay, these woods divulge my mind today. Relinquish seasons, rise past years, learn timelessness, what perseveres. End poem. Robbie, can we start with you?
Well, this poem felt very alive, which is obviously very suitable for how or for the subject of this. And what I particularly enjoyed is with the what he was talking about with the trees and that, like with the description overall in the feeling in this poem, I got the feeling that this is something I want to try in one of my own poems in the future. Like that, it felt like the poem was actually like reaching out. Like I could almost physically feel it, and like the branch. It's like the branches of the trees were something that I could feel like stretching out. So I enjoyed that, and it just gives me all kind of little ideas. Like if you wrote a poem in the shape of a tree, and like the main stanzas were like in the roots, and then the kind of the more descriptive parts that come later on would be like branching out into the branches of the picture of the poem. So I always enjoy when a poem makes me think of all kinds of, you know, unexpected things like that, especially if it's things that I might want to integrate or try on my own later on.
Yeah, no, that's great. It's I get inspired all the time here. I'm like, oh, man, that was a great idea. That was a great idea, or that was a great line. I mean, I've said, man, I wish I wrote that line or whatever style gets inspired from. So that's great.
Poem ending.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, Weaver, go for it.
Again, I just really enjoy Robert's work. And I love the title, Arboreal Time. Just, yeah, lovely. Come and get your arboreal time here. Oh, dear. The tree that keeps its leaves through fall depicts one wish. Sustain the sight of orchids, cornstalks, wheat, the sprawl of clover, ivy, crows in flight. Really nice. Really nicely put. Yes, I think all in all, this is, I have a lot of favorites, but I have to say this is one of my favorites because it just, it does, as you say, it speaks to you. You actually feel as if you're part of this, which is very cleverly done. And you can tell it's getting late. These woods divulge my mind today, relinquished seasons, rise past years. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Robert.
Getting late. It's getting early for you.
Yeah.
It's getting late. But
actually,
tomorrow,
the time zone change, I was actually kind of wondering about how that affects these, like if how it's going to affect the midnight show. It's 11 now, like, the midnight shows, when they come on. Well, I guess they come on. Is that going to be? Yeah. It's going to work out weird, eh?
Well, I think it's two. Yeah, I don't know if you are in Scotland, do you guys have the extra hour? Are you guys changing your clocks back tomorrow night? Do you guys do that there? I don't even know.
But yeah, we do it, but ours were put back about 2 weeks ago, I think. This is actually a bonus for me because at the moment, your show starts for me at 2 a.m., where normally it would be 3 a.m., so I've gained an hour.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm feeling bright and breezy.
Oh, there you go. No, for the United States, it's tonight, and it's actually – it shouldn't affect the shows because I believe it's 2 a.m.,
so
the show will still start at 2:30, but it's going to end at 1:30 and still be 2 hours, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But it's 2 a.m. is when it goes back, so at 2, I think that's how it is. At 2 a.m., it becomes 1 a.m. again or something like that. But hopefully I'll be asleep and sleep through. But I always say it's my favorite day of the year because I wake up at 5 and it's really 4. Oh, get back to bed. You get that extra hour of sleep, which I desperately, desperately need. Anyway, off topic there, but yeah, interesting. Gray.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. You know, it was quite beautiful in its descriptions, and you could feel the emotion that is put into his poetry was incredible imagery and metaphors as well. And congratulations on the gold, Robert. And thank you for sharing.
And I like the personification of the tree. I thought that was, excuse me, really, really interesting. What it's looking for before the, and the way he describes it, before the orange red gold dissolve, when earth grows pale and cold. So it is, you know, it is true. The leaves just kind of disappear, right? They become the earth again. But then for him to go into the leafless trees feel more like me. So he feels that fall. It really comes to him. And he can feel that much more. So no longer hoarding or caught what's plunged toward history, dead roots of thought. So yeah, I thought it was great. I thought it was really interesting and very inventive and a unique take that I haven't really seen before on fall. So I enjoyed it a lot. Great job, Robert. Congratulations on the goal. And let's move on with life. What do you want to do now?
Okay, so next we have Kunu. Perhaps in a year I will see you all, and I will give this a read. It is the sublime moments of autumn's grace. Leaves are dancing, but at a slower pace, wearing hues of amber, yellow, and gold. Beneath the blue sky, what a show they hold. Impermanence lives, summer days recede. It's time to listen to the garden's needs. Thank the perennials for their summer blossoms. The joy they gave was nothing but awesome. The sun stays low, horizon it hugs, and hallelujah, no more bugs. Smoke curls from chimneys to the sky. In autumn's embrace, feel content, you and I. It is 6 p.m. and darkness abounds. The glass is empty for another round. Wrapped in the cocoon of my cozy retreat, time's for hot chocolate, warm and sweet. Watching changes, mortality stirs. Time remaining could just be a spur. It is autumn of life, and another page falls. Perhaps in a year, I will see you all. Bracket, no, but no guarantees. Bracket, end poem.
Great job as always, Gray. Yeah, and the prompts or the prompts down below say autumn, winter, and then it says life, retirement, old, and rhyme, which I thought was kind of interesting. And I did like that where, you know, perhaps in another year. So it's it is autumn of life, and another page falls, perhaps another year. So he's thinking, oh, it's almost like he's talking to two different people. He's, because it says in autumn's embrace, feel content, you and I. So he's talking to a person, but to me, he's also talking to autumn. You know, hopefully I'll see you again another autumn, right? Which is even though this is very, I think it's very positive, it's very fun and light and interesting. It's got that kind of dark tone to it, and that is very interesting too, right? Like you never know. Geez, it's my last autumn. Am I going to see another Christmas? You know, you never know what's going to happen, right? So, but that was interesting. little things like that comes up, and I thought the 6 p.m. darkness abounds was interesting too, because it is part of it. I always say that, like I said, yesterday is my favorite day of the year. I joke because you get an extra hour of sleep. But also things get dark much earlier, right, which can be, you know, when you get up in the morning, it's lighter, but, you know, come middle of December, it's dark in New England here at 4:30, you know, it's, and where you are, Gray, it's probably dark even earlier, right, like 4 o'clock. So it's, and I don't know if that's where UK too, you're up closer to the Arctic than I am. And you know, that can be interesting too, because then you're getting out of work and it's dark. You're like driving home in the dark, or you're done. You don't really get, unless you get up in the morning, you kind of don't have daylight, and that can be an interesting thing. But I thought the descriptions are great, and it was really just a beautiful take on everything, where it's both a little bit a little dark, but also very, very pleasant as well too, and a nice tribute to autumn. So. Great job. Why am I spacing things? Who read this? Who read this one? I can't remember. Please tell me it wasn't me, because I'll be really – all right, good. I was going to say, please tell me it wasn't me and I can't remember reading it, because then I'd be really sad. All right, cool. So let's go with Robbie. Robbie, what were your thoughts?
Well, this reminds me of something I was contemplating a few hours ago. I was watching a video, and it was talking about how it was saying, well, you're right now in life, you're staying in the storm, the eye of the storm, letting yourself stay in a stillness of, like, just even though things are kind of chaotic or things aren't quite where you want, you're letting yourself stay with that to contemplate it. And this reminds me a little bit of that, it kind of reminds me in a tangential way, because for me, I used to think that I hated fall, and I don't. It's just I realized that here where I live, the winters are just death. Like, they are just so horrendously cold, especially like when a polar vortex or something comes in. Like, we were down to minus 50 something when a polar vortex came in one time, like minus 50 C. And so I realized that I actually like the fall. It's just that it's a reminder of the winter to come. And this poem has that feel to me of kind of, and I think more and more fall has that kind of feel of a certain stillness. It's a very more than any other season, it's transitory, because like spring, you know, it gets warmer and things melt in that. But in fall, there's more of a holding pattern between some days being warm, some days being cold. And, when you're talking about something that is dark but comforting at the same time, there is a sort of unique sort of darkness that isn't, like, for lack of a better word, dark, dark, you know, but it's sort of just, it's kind of like if it's been like, like, say it's been like really, really bright sunlight all day, you know, you've had to wear sunglasses the whole day because the sun's just so bright. And then it's nighttime, and it's kind of like, you know, it's a kind of a respite from, like, just overstimulation. And that's kind of almost the dark that I think of when I think of the darkness that this kind of a poem maybe touches upon.
Cool. May I ask where you're from, Robbie?
I live up in Ontario, Canada, so... It's just northwestern Ontario. So, it gets just so cold. But it makes the days and nights, like we were talking about how the days and nights work, it makes them crazy because the sun sets and rises so late. And the thing is like in the winter, it makes the days just so absolutely short. But then in the summer, our days, like this, at the peak of summer, the sun won't go down until like about 10 o'clock at night.
Like, oh, wow. You're way up there then.
Yeah, I'm way up there. So, and I just took it for granted. It's actually something to contemplate poetically. You know, you take it for granted about the patterns about where you are, right? Because I just kind of took it for granted. Like, oh, it's 10 p.m. Yeah, sure. It's light out. Isn't it light out for everybody at 10 p.m.? No, you know, most places it's quite a bit earlier. So,
I think the in New England here, at the peak, it's maybe about 5:30 or so. The sunrise will start to come. This is in the summer, obviously, and then right around 9 o'clock, the sun sets. That's really the longest we get. But then in the wintertime, it's 7:30 in the morning and 4:30 in the afternoon. It's craziness. It's just dark all the time. Like I said, you know, if you're driving to work, you're out of work at 5 o'clock and it's pitch black. You can literally get up, go to work, and never see the sun at home. If you're having to drive to work.
Even though these poems aren't directly all about this, it's a bit of a tangent, but I think it kind of relates to the poems tonight. You don't realize. Realize how much it affects you. Like, I was in a university class, and it's all the, like, the whole day, I didn't see the change, eh? And then it was, like, completely from light to completely dark, and it just freaked me out.
Yeah, no, the seasons definitely affect you. I mean, I, you know, I feel it all the time. In the springtime, you can feel kind of the energy almost, and in the wintertime, you feel a little, you know, and I don't know if it's natural or if it's just, you know, nostalgic, but, you know, you can feel those seasons, and it gets a little, you know, people need sunlight. You know, you need sunlight in your life. I don't know how these people do it that work overnight shifts. I talked to people before, and a lot of times they say they hate it, but I don't understand how people could do that where they're, like, working all, and they're sleeping all during the day and working at night. Because you kind of need – I need sunlight in my life, definitely. It's just a natural thing. But anyway, yeah, a little off topic, but not really. Cool. So I'm lost. I'm sorry. I'm so tired, guys. I'm failing at my job here tonight. Did everyone get to comment? I forget who didn't. Did anyone not comment on this one?
Well, I don't think Weaver did, and neither did I.
Oh, Weaver. Oh, go ahead, guys. So Weaver, let's see. That's right. Weaver, go ahead.
I had no idea. I thought I had. I wasn't saying
anything. Oh, you had? Okay.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, right, so, maybe not, but it doesn't matter. Go on to Gray, please, because I think we're all
okay,
tired.
Yeah. Okay, Gray, go ahead. Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, I enjoyed it as well. The changing of the season really has a serious effect on our lives, and I enjoyed the title of this, Perhaps in a Year I Will See You All. And, you know, I like the way he starts with that and then ends with that, you know, as he goes through the season, and the sun stays low on the horizon, it hugs, and hallelujah, no more bugs. Smoke curls from chimneys to the sky, in autumn's embrace, feel content, you and I. And, yeah, there is a certain peacefulness that autumn brings. It's quite enveloping in our lives, so I thought it was beautiful.
Cool. What do you want to do now? We got a little less than 20 minutes left, so we can definitely fit a few more in.
Okay, so next we have Autumn Underwing by Logan 3. If you wouldn't mind reading that, please, Robbie.
Okay, I'm getting the short ones tonight. Autumn Underwing. Sparrow shiver, brisk air rush, whistle whistle of nuts and berries. White-throated, melodiously careening thrush in cool rainy drizzle of grass and leaves. Ice crystal in the eye, a junco flies to oceans by the sea. Where hot turns warm. Some stay, frigid sidewalk chitter for neighborhood sunflowers and white flaky snow. End poem.
Great read there. Awesome. Yeah, interesting. This one was very interesting. All right, Gray, we'll start with you, and I'll make sure Weaver gets in too, so don't forget you guys. Sorry. Robbie and I talk a lot sometimes. Oh, I do. And I lose my place. So, Gray, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, I liked it a lot. You did a fantastic job of reading it, Robbie. And, you know, I enjoyed the the nature aspect of it. And, you know, you could see the little birds at the feeder, you know, some stay, frigid winter chatter for neighborhood sunflower and white flaky snow. Yeah, it was just beautiful.
Thank you, Greg. And Weaver.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Autumn Underwing. Brilliant title. And again, beautiful first stanza. Sparrow shiver, brisk air rush, whistle of nuts and berries. I think birds are beautiful, even though they may have come to us from raptors before they were little flying things. I think they're absolutely gorgeous, and I think this is lovely. It really has a lovely spring to it. It moves very, like the brisk air rush. It's got that sort of, you know, hurriedness about it, which I love. So it's not going to be read in a gentle way. This is life. This is, you know, happening now. And I thought it was brilliantly written. Some stay, frigid sidewalk a titter, for neighborhood sunflower and white flaky snow. Yeah, they do. They do that in Scotland as well. Some of them hang around. So I think this is wonderful. I think it's beautifully written. Thank you so much, Logan Tree.
Thanks, Weaver. Yeah, and I caught, we've had a few times people have been mentioning the sidewalks or the gravel in the winter, which I think is very interesting. I mean, everything kind of changes, you know, in the wintertime. It's just a different feel to everything. You know, in the summertime, I don't know who you guys are, but when it gets really, really hot, the pavement hurts, you know. So much different feel, obviously, here. And, yeah, I thought the descriptions are interesting and a really, you know, the autumn underwing. So really, really kind of talking about both I think, the good and the bad of autumn. We've had a lot of, I don't want to say negative, but darker sides to autumn tonight, which I think is interesting and different, which I like. So, yeah, great job. I thought it was interesting and a lot of fun and just beautiful descriptiveness in this. Robbie, go for it. Your thoughts?
Well, the poem made me smile because it's all about birds and I love birds. And I actually gave a thumbs up, like a physical thumbs up, when I saw ice crystal in the eye, a junco flies, because juncos are a bird that fly into areas when it's fall time and you know the winter's coming. So I don't know if the author was aware of that, but that's why I gave my thumbs up and I especially smiled at that part because I thought that was perfect because, you know, fall time, oh, the black-eyed juncos are flying right in and picking the seeds off the ground, which I always see, and I know, oh, fall time's coming. They're gathering their seeds. They're gathering their food. So that especially in the towards the end is something that really genuinely made me smile and I appreciated. Fit the poem perfectly.
Very cool. All right, and we got 10 minutes, so we have we can get, you know, a couple more in. Where do we want to go now, and who's going to read it?
Okay, so next we have photo prompt, Neighborhood Earth.
Oh, so we're going to, I'm sorry, so you know what, we have a new, actually that's a new contest, so we're actually on to the next contest now. So yeah, I had three contests here, so that was really the autumn ones, and then I had, this is the next contest, so actually you posted the contest on that, Weaver, if you want to post the next poem instead. So this is interesting. It's just, this is kind of right up the street from my house. I was walking down the street, and I saw this sign in front of someone's house, and it was written in three different languages. It was written in English, Spanish, and I think Arabic. And in English, it says, "No matter where you are from, we're glad you're our neighbor." And I thought that was really just a great thing for somebody to put out on their fence, on their front lawn, in three different languages. You know, I live in a city which is very ethnically diverse. There's a lot of different ethnicities here and cultures. So I thought that was really great. And I was interested to see what people wrote about for that prompt. So this is the new prompt now. And do we have Zara, I think, might be the poem. And who's going to read that one?
Yes, we have Remember by Zara, 8. And if you wouldn't mind reading that, Daniel, please.
Sure. And this one actually got the gold for this contest by Zara H. Since we're talking internationally here, too, Zara is from Saudi Arabia, called I Remember. One moment, please. Excuse me. Trying to use my mute when I cough. I apologize. I'm a loner in this era, feeling out of place. I hate these concrete boxes we call home. I'm a loner, wandering in bygone places, old, cracked, abandoned paths. I remember running barefoot, stealing watermelon with my peers, and the kind old man close by who always turns a blind eye and sat by his door smiling. I remember our pregnant neighbor delivering her baby during our visit. The day turned into a celebration. I remember houses made of clay, and when it rains, earthy smell hugs the neighborhood. While fogged, curtaining houses hovering over oil lamps, a picture so surreal. When morning comes, people emerge like flowers, calm souls and smiley faces, greeting with such emotion that makes you feel safe and loved. I don't recall there was a stranger all are family. I remember Eid. Oh, how I loved Eid. It's an invite to share love and kindness. I remember Iftar feast where everybody brought something. Whole street looks like a restaurant. I can hear the laughs, the jokes, the munching. I can hear the giggles and whispers. I remember hidden messages thrown from window to window, promises of new weddings and vows of happily ever after. I remember the fragrance of acceptance in the air where elders give blessings to the youngsters. I remember those days, a memory that hinders me from engaging in this cold era. End poem. And yeah, I thought it just, you know, the prompt in this day and age with everything going on, I thought it was a really good prompt to, again, I was happy about that sign, and it was a good prompt to bring to the table. So thanks, Sarah. And Robbie, why don't we start with you?
Well, it had a double feeling in the beginning of two types of alienation that can take place because said, I hate these concrete boxes we call home. So there's the alienation of the city and then also the alienation of, you know, being a stranger in a strange land, sort of. But then, it, you know, the poem pivots towards all the warmth and such that comes from, you know, multi-ethnicity, multi-diversity. And it taps into a personal experience of mine just because I go to a Syrian restaurant a lot. And I'm always checking up on the person there because she's gone through hard times. And every year it's a tradition that me and a friend go there for falafel for our birthday since we have the same. So it reminded me of that as well. And it was a very gentle poem emotionally. So it was nice to read that for that tone.
Yes, and happy birthday, whenever that is.
Still April.
Okay. So I'm definitely a fan of Zara. Zara writes for a good amount of my contests and comes on the shows. So I'm really glad she wrote for this. I thought this was great. I agree with you. The isolation of I'm a loner in this era with these concrete boxes we call home. You know, it. I happen to live in an older home from, you know, back in the 1800s, and I read the history of the house I live in as well too, and it feels kind of homey. It's a different feel than living like an apartment building, which is probably what she's talking about, and just this kind of these concrete kind of bunkers where everybody's just kind of in there. It is different. And if you've grew up in a house or in more of an environment, it can be a, you know, it can be a, you know, it can be a cold thing. And then wandering in the bygone places of old, cracked, abandoned paths. We all feel like that, right? We're, you know, we grew up where we grew up, and now we're where we are now. So you can feel like a loner, like it's, you know, this isn't where I come from. And then she starts kind of really remembering these times, and you know, maybe it's because we're kids, but you know, I'm sure there was all kinds of stuff that I didn't know about, right? I was born in the 60s, grew up in the 70s and 80s, and there was certainly, you know, racism and prejudice and hatred, and I you know, dealt with school bullies and all those things. But it still felt a little more community-like. It still felt a little more open. You know, the world felt smaller, right, because we didn't know as much about the world. There wasn't the internet, but it, you know, I can relate to a lot of these different things. I remember, like, for example, the neighborhood I lived in, I remember playing in everybody's yard. We used to play, and we'd just run around everyone's yard, and nobody cared, you know? It was more of a kind of open world, and it things, you know, especially nowadays, feel so much different. You know, everybody feels apart, and you know, so that's where that end comes in, the last lines. I remember the fragrance of acceptance in the air where elders give blessings to youngsters. I remember those days, a memory that hinders me from engaging in this cold era where we really do feel separated because it's so much of social life is on the internet, and so much of you know, so much of the world does feel cold and not acceptable, and we're all just, there's so much kind of hatred and selfishness around is what it feels like. So I thought this was great nostalgia and really beautiful, and I loved how she kind of looked back and remembered all these fond things and how, you know, people kind of worked together when she was younger. So very, very beautiful. Cool. And, yeah, we got 5 minutes or so, plenty of time for everyone's comments as well. And, Gray, what about you? Oh, sorry. Crazy, the music.
That was on mute.
There you go.
Yeah, I liked it. You know, it speaks to remembering where you came from and the feeling of warmth that that brings. So I enjoyed it a lot. You did a great job of reading it, Daniel.
Thank you. And Weaver.
Oh, yes. I was nearly muted. I thought it was lovely. I really did. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I particularly liked the pregnant neighbor delivering her baby during our visit. The day turned into a celebration. Oh, that was just lovely. It's lovely memories, isn't it? Memories, they'll never go stale. Memories will never leave you. It's a wonderful thing to have because no matter what's happened in your life, in there are some good bits, and those are the bits that we should concentrate on. So very well done, Sarah. Really enjoyed it. Oh, sorry, Zara. Really enjoyed it.
Excellent, excellent. All right, we have little more than 4 minutes left, a little under 4 minutes. And Weaver, you put yours up, which I know has a SoundCloud. Is it under 4 minutes? Can we try to get that? Do you want to try to get that in, or we want to save it? It looks like it's fairly short.
Winter's blanket of white gently melts away. Burgeoning life returns. That's nature's way. As the icy grip weakens, surrenders its might, spring emerges, painting all with colors bright. Spring, you stir our souls to soar beyond the day. In your embrace, that chill of winter fades away. Promising ambient warmth and gentlest growth, give spring time to show what it can bring forth. Blossoms unfurl like whispers on a soft breeze, a tapestry of beauty amidst our fields and trees. The scent of life awakening dances upon the air, while signs of rejuvenation appear everywhere. Our world, if nurtured, might unveil its ancient spell. Nature may reclaim her resilience if looked after well. Though her magic shimmers less, unused for decades, we watch in hope as spring arrives and winter fades.
Excellent job. Am I on mute? No, I'm not. Excellent job, Weaver. What a beautiful and lovely way to end the night with this poem. We just have time for quick comments, but I just thought it was beautiful and lovely and great imagery and a great feel to it. Robbie, you have time for a quick comment.
Yeah, like I said in chat, is very contemplative. Just a very, yeah, like you say, good way to end the night. It's just has the feel of kind of just a stream of thought and, you know, someone kind of thinking out loud to themselves. So that's always a nice kind of tone to hear and perfect for the end of a show.
Excellent, excellent. Great. What do you think?
It was just beautiful throughout, you know. It was fantastic. And I loved it. Love you, Weaver.
Awesome, yeah. All right, well, perfect, and we're just on time here. Thank you. Thanks, Robbie and Weaver, for joining Gray and I. It was a lot of fun, a great show. I really enjoyed it. I believe next time in 2 weeks we're going to have that we're going to go back to doing some front page picks, but then after that we'll have more original contests, so look for those and participate. Thanks, everybody. Have a fantastic rest of your weekend, and we'll see you all later.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, young boy.